shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Turn that off, bud. We're not... It's time for Ted.
Oh, sorry.
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. A lot of things happening with this National Football League season. You are never far away from a game when you're in our prime rib room. Watch the NFL, get yourself a drink, and come on in for our prime rib, of course, on Sunday. Very happy to be on the show tonight, Bill.
Thank you, Ted, for being with us. And it's a Ted Bell segment here, folks, brought to you by Ted Bell. And welcome to our program, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're kicking things off tonight with you, Ted, because it is your sponsored segment. We also have some pretty interesting news made public today or yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Horses could soon be butchered in the U.S. for human consumption after Congress quietly lifted a five-year-old ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month.
Right there, Bill, the mentioning of activists, I think it's very unfortunate because for many people who are in the food business, food delivery business, in the grocery business, in the provisioning business, it's an option that you have, and you are able to open up a little bit more to the consumer, different options, especially at times when prices may be a little steep. So when you mention activists, a red flag went up.
And the red flag is what? Are they animal rights activists?
Well, they're animal rights activists, but you know, again, what I find hypocritical is that we serve meat from steer, we serve meat from a bovine animal, and I haven't had any activists picketing my restaurant. We're a steakhouse. I think people understand that. Now that I'm able to offer an option, and in some cases, it's an option that you're going to offer to people that'll be right there on the menu. In other instances, it is simply an option that they are going to be afforded. And then you have activists telling you you can't do it. I tell you, you can't roll back. The Congress has lifted the ban. I don't know what their premise is going to be, the activists, on reinstating the ban.
Is there some thought that horses are like dogs and cats, that they are a domesticated creature that gives us that they're more valuable to us as companions, as pets, as I don't know, that there's somehow.
Well, I'm as sentimental as the next guy, but if people are looking to increase their protein intake and they are looking to increase the quality, at least nutritionally, of their meals. And I have the ability to provide this for my customers.
All right, I want to get into talking to you about this. You have a steakhouse that is in Beverly Hills, California, and you're going to put horse meat on the menu?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that I was going to put it on the menu. What I'm telling you is that there is an option for me as a restaurateur to give to my customers as high a quality tasting product. And at the same time, I can save on the overhead. I can save on the wholesale end, so that we're not spending as much money.
So, I'll get to that question in a moment. Sounds to me like you're going to sell horse meat.
No, that's not what I'm not going to have on the menu. We sell horse meat. What I'm saying is, and please try that. I'm sure that there are a lot of consumers that understand that if they can have a product that is as quality tasting, shall we say, as steak, and they know that it is not costing me as much, that I think they're going to want to at least support my business to the extent that they will like the idea that I've got that. I'm not going to put it on the menu.
Well, what are you going to have on the menu if you have horse meat and you're selling it as a steak? What are you going to put on the menu?
Well, you can put on the menu that it is a steak. You can put on the menu it's a delicious steak. It's a 12-ounce steak. You can call it a Ted's. You can give it a charbroiled, or you can give it a fillet or something. You don't have to say what it is, and that's really not why I came on the program tonight. The reason why I came on the program tonight was to talk to you about these activists, so-called animal rights activists. I don't see them as animal rights activists at all. I think that they're these are people that probably own horses themselves and probably ride those horses and probably run those horses and probably use those horses in their amusement time almost to death. As the animal is dragging itself back to a stable, laden down with a saddle and God knows what else. And those people call themselves animal rights activists? I don't think so.
Well, you're talking about people that ride horses for a hobby.
Yes. These individuals, you've seen them where they have they got a stable or what have you, and they go out and they ride the horse, and then and some of these individuals should not be on the back of an animal. They are... these animals are fragile creatures. I mean, they're strong animals, but you're not going to put a human being on the back of an animal, a human being that has no business sitting on a horse, any more than they, forgive me for trying to be funny, but any more than they have business wearing pants,
You're talking about people that are overweight. I understand what you're saying, and that there may be some abuse of horses in that respect, but we're talking here specifically about the serving of horse meat. Congress has lifted this ban, and there is now there is conversation that the USDA saying that the USDA is going to allow the butchering of horses for human consumption. So, again, you're going to sell horse meat.
What you do is you afford your customers the option of having a quality steak. You're not going to say, oh, we've got horse meat steak. That is not a commercially viable choice, in my opinion. But what you can say is you have a delicious steak, you can make it a part of the menu, and you provide it. And again, it costs me less from my wholesaler, so that when I retail it to my customer, I am saving that much more money.
Now, the money that the customer is saving on this steak, they're going to see that the price is lower.
Well, it's a difficult business. I didn't necessarily say, and nor do I think it's wise of me to lower the price, because if I do that, then the customer thinks that he's not getting a high-quality cut of meat. So I'm going to keep my prices the same. All right.
So what you're saying, you're going to keep your prices the same, but you are...
I'm going to be saving money, yeah. But I also understand, in my opinion, I think my customers are going to appreciate the fact that we do serve horse meat, or we serve this kind of a cuisine, and that they can avail themselves of that.
All right, can I interrupt you, Ted, for a moment here?
Go ahead.
If you are not identifying on the menu that you're selling horse meat, then how does your customer know?
I think what we do is we basically... come on programs like yours, Phil. I'm going to go on the Ken and Bob. What is it? Ken and John show
on a John and Ken.
John and Ken, and go on some of these programs, and we go on some of the LA talk shows and so forth, and nationally too, and let them know that we're very excited about the possibility that we can afford our customers the choice of a quality steak. It's good meat, Phil. It's good tasting. I think there's been a terrible slander against horse. Every time we say horse meat, you think of cat food or dog food.
Well, that's what I think of, and because of that, I would never want to eat.
Well, I'm advertising on your program, and because I'm advertising on your program, and I advertise on other programs, I would hope that the hosts who are on those shows are going to support Tens of Beverly Hills. And I would like you to come in at your choosing, Phil, and sit down and have lunch and have one of our Ted specials or what have you.
So that would be a horse meat steak.
Again, we're not calling it that. It's a Ted lunch special. It's a delicious 12-ounce steak. And that's all we have to call it. I don't have to say, come in and get a horse meat steak. what I'm telling you is I'm saving money because it's not as expensive. And
Okay.
But what?
Well, all right. I mean, I understand, but you're not passing that savings on to the consumer.
I can't. I cannot lower the price of the steaks because people will think that the quality suffers. And so
so you need to maintain the price of that steak, but you're going to be selling a Ted special steak or whatever you wind up calling it.
We do know we're going to have 8-ounce and 12-ounce. The largest will be a 12-ounce.
But this will essentially be horse steak.
You know, I don't want to call it that.
But isn't that what it is?
I don't want to call it that. I don't want to call it that. I know what you're saying, and I affirm the statements you're making, but I don't want to say that.
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying, though. That's what it is.
Well, I'll just repeat what I said.
All right. Ted Bell with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. He is serving or will be serving or will be purchasing because the USDA has lifted a 5-year ban on funding horse meat inspections, and activists say slaughterhouses could be up and running in as little as a month. There could be horse meat consumption among many Americans, and Ted Bell is one of many restaurants, huh, Ted?
Well, there's a few back east. I know a great many. I know a chain restaurant that is going to be using some of these suppliers.
And the reason is that a horse meat steak is a delicious steak.
No question, Phil, and it's low in fat. It's delicious. The only problem that we would have, again, would be this some kind of a political statement on the part of some of these activists that don't want you to slaughter horses. But I don't understand. These are the same people. These horse meat inspectors, or excuse me, not activists, these horse meat, what do you call them? The horse or activist opponents of horse meat are people that own horses and ride horses and in many cases ride them to death. And I think that needs to be investigated. I think we need to investigate who these individuals are that own horses for their own pleasure and amusement, ride them until they are almost dead, until the hearts in the chests of these great proud animals almost explode, and then leave them standing all afternoon with saddles on them while, excuse me for saying this, the fat slob that was riding this animal goes inside for a Diet Coke.
All right. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. What do you think about horse meat for human consumption? Do you think that Mr. Bell should have to identify the horse meat that's on his menu? Do you think he should pass the savings along to you on this horse meat? And for those of you who are animal rights or horse rights activists, do you own horses that you ride? I think you're being a little rough there, Ted.
No, I'm not. Believe me, I know some of these people.
All right, hold the line here. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Ted of Beverly Hills again, the National Football League. We're getting into those really interesting weeks ahead of the playoffs, and we've got all the games on. We got our DirecTV. We paid the bill. Come on in and have yourself a drink and have our slow roasted prime rib, Phil.
All Sunday, right?
All day Sunday, we have the slow roasted prime rib, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is absolutely delicious. And
it's not made out of horse.
All right. I mean, here's the thing. I would rather that you not make those jokes, and I'll tell you why.
I apologize.
No, it's all right, but I'll tell you why. We're going to take advantage of this. We're going to deliver to our customers what we think is a high-quality steak. Is it as good as a regular steer or bovine product? Probably not. It's horse. But it's not costing me as much. And I want my customers to know that so that they can know that I'm not paying as much for the product. I mean, we're in the middle of a serious downturn. So if you're going to make jokes about the prime rib is beef. It's not a horse.
And no, I understand that. I just, you're right, it was a joke, and I apologize.
Because you're not going to, I don't want people not coming in because they think, oh, the prime rib, it's prime rib. That means it's off of the beef. If we are serving some kind of a horse stew or, I'm not going to come on a radio and say, come in and get a horse steak. I don't think it's good business.
But you are serving them.
Again, I don't want to say that we're serving horse. I'm simply...
But, all right, you know...
You see what I'm saying?
No, I understand that, but you're all right. 877-876-PHIL.
I'm what?
Well, I think it's an unspoken fact that that's what you're doing.
I don't want to go there. You know what I'm talking about, I know what you're talking about, and the audience knows what you're talking about.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call, and we've got people hanging on. I want to talk to you, Ted, and we'll see what we can do about accommodating everybody. We have Sarah with us here. Sarah, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very appalled at what I'm listening to. This gentleman who's on the line, he owns a restaurant?
Yes, ma'am. I own a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, California. It's called Ted's Beverly Hills. And the steak, we've been there since 1975.
Oh, okay. I would be appalled if I went anywhere and was not informed of what I was eating. I don't care if it's veal or if it's beef or whatever. Every animal that we eat has a name, and I guess I would surely expect that that should be on menu, whether you call it horse or they come up with some fancy name. It needs to be identified.
All right, let me ask the lady a question. When you order a steak at a restaurant, and you say, oh, look at this, a steak. I want to have a steak. You order the steak. Correct?
Yes.
All right. At no time do you ever ask the waiter, by the way, is this made out of cow? You have an expectation that you want a delicious product, something that is prepared properly, that tastes like a steak.
Yeah, but
hold on, Phil, and let me explain to the lady. And so when I deliver that steak to your table and you have an enjoyable evening with your husband or whoever you're with and you have a glass of wine and you just
tell me.
And you want me to come out at the end of that meal? You want me to come out at the end of that meal and say, by the way, you just ate horse. Are you going to keep it down? Is it going to come out? You see what I'm saying?
It would probably come out. I guess I
don't know what you're laughing at.
I have some experience in the restaurant field, and I don't know what your menu looks like, but ours said when it was 100% beef.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that needs to be
identified. Absolutely. Or does it say, or let me ask you this, did it say 100% beef, or did it say 100% choice steak? What did it say? And
well, now we're getting into an area where there's a little bit of, well, I don't want to call it fraud.
Whoa, watch that word. We don't defraud anybody, okay? And
well, if you are not serving, if the understanding is...
We don't tell anybody anything. All I'm trying to do here, and I'm sure that Stacy, or Sarah, rather, you're in the restaurant business, Sarah, you understand. I'm trying to do business, and you want me, you and Mr. Henry want me to come out and say, come on into Ted's and get a horse steak. It's not gonna work.
Obviously, yes, that's not going to work. But then it doesn't make
exactly
a lot of sense what you're saying. Either you don't want to say the wrong thing for fear of losing customers, but you want your customers to be very proud of you for saving money in these bad economic times, even though you pass any of that on to them. They're going to be...
Well, no, wait a minute. Now, that's an interesting point. You're saying to me that if I did pass the savings on to them, they wouldn't care if they were eating cat. That's basically what you're saying.
No, she's not saying that at all.
Yes, you are. In a manner of speaking, you are, because you're saying, well, at least you can pass the savings on. That way, if they're eating dog food, if they're eating cat, they don't care.
No, she didn't say that at all.
I said I think it's absolutely strange to listen to you talking about how you think that your customers are going to be so happy that you're saving money. They're not, and they might end up eating something that they don't know what they're eating, but they should be happy because you're saving a dime.
Well, I think you're twisting it a little bit. I think you're spinning it away. Are you an animal rights activist? I have to ask you that because you're spinning it in a way that makes it sound like I'm serving cat. And
No. I'm listening.
No, I think what you're saying is and you're not even going to pass the savings on to your customers. The least you could do would be to do that, right? And if I did that, then I could say...
I guess from the explanation you're giving, that would make sense to me for you, at least for you to say,
all right.
This is why I'm doing
it. Let's take a break. Sarah, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back here with Ted Bell.
Yeah, stir-fried Ted.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, we are taking advantage of the United States Congress lifting the ban on horse meat inspection. We are very serious about our product at Ted's of Beverly Hills. But horse meat is available for human consumption.
And Ted Bell joining us, and what you're saying is that horse meat is not only available for human consumption, it's delicious.
It is absolutely delicious. It is, as I said, Phil, the horse is like the bovine animal, and by that I mean like the steer, the cow, is a herbivore, which means it is not a meat eater. And by the way, meat-eating animals are not necessarily bad-tasting or anything. That's some of this nonsense you've heard. The reason why we do not raise meat-eating animals for our own food is because it costs more to feed an animal like that. Obviously, an animal that is consuming meat is going to require a protein source that is going to be a lot more expensive for the individual who is either involved in that agribusiness or involved in that kind of ranching. So we are, the human race has raised vegetation-eating animals, if you will. Now, the horse meat that I'm talking about is high-quality horse. By that, I mean you're talking about animals that are, at one time, they might have been thoroughbred horses who raced, for instance, in thoroughbred racing, which means they are a very healthy animal. There's very little fat.
And you're telling me that the horse meat that you're dealing in for human consumption, these used to be racehorses?
In some instances, yeah. Not in all instances, in some. A lot of them are going to be eventually farmed. But yes, in some instances, because if you're looking at this objectively, Phil, which I hope you are and I hope your listeners are, thoroughbred horse races, horses are low in fat, healthy animals. And obviously there's a lot of them that are made available every year by virtue of the fact that they have not lived up to their expectation as racehorses. But they can still use serve a useful purpose. So that's all I want to say about that, because I don't want to get too far into the discussion of that. People tend to get a little, I don't know.
Well, people are going to get really sentimental about horses. People are extremely sentimental about horses to begin with, because they're like a pet. But I had no idea that you're involved in the selling of thoroughbred horses as meat.
I didn't say I'm involved in the sell. It sounds as if forgive me, but you make it sound like I'm involved in white slaving.
And no, I'm not. No, Ted.
Well, like when you said you're involved in, it sounds as if I'm selling children, and I resent that, Phil.
No, I did not say that, Ted. I did not say that.
Well, it sounds as if you've got me in Bangkok selling children. I said that I am not selling. I don't want to discuss what I'm selling.
All right, I apologize, but anybody that is selling horse meat would be selling or would be involved in selling thoroughbred.
No, again, you're misspeaking. Again, you're misspeaking. Yet again, when you say it sounds like you're involved in, you are making it sound like I am involved in the trafficking of infants for sex. And
no, I am most certainly not, Mr. Bell, and I wish you wouldn't... I engage in that kind of overstatement. I am not saying that at all.
Well, that is how I'm hearing it. And there's an awful lot of people that are very sensitive about this.
Well, I can understand them being sensitive, but I have not said anything even remotely close to what you just claim I did. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Jamie on the line, I believe. Jamie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Jamie, are you there? She gone?
All right. Hello?
Let's
Hello?
Who's this? This is not Jamie. All right. Hold on, brother. Hold on for a minute, goofball. Here is Bob. Bob, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. How you doing there, Ted? I just have a comment.
Very good. Thank you.
I just have a comment on...
I can't hear this caller. Turn him up, will you? Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
Bob.
Okay. Ted, I would just want to comment. If you have a good restaurant and you have...
I can hear the caller. Go on.
I was saying, if you have a good restaurant, can you hear me, Ted?
I can hear you, yeah. Mr. Henry was having a hard time hearing you, but I can hear you.
I was having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm in Pennsylvania. What I'm saying is, if you have a good restaurant and a good quality menu, don't worry about selling horse. You sell your steaks. You don't need to advertise your selling horse. When they come in, offer it to them as an alternative. Maybe have it a little cheaper, and let them have a choice, knowing what they're eating if they don't want the horse.
Okay, you know what? I got to get rid of the call because I don't know what the problem is. I can't hear the caller, and unless you guys can jack the level on these phone calls, let's go to Gary. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, once again, thank you for taking my call. I am a butcher in New York City. And it's to me, it's pretty direct that people will not consume an animal that you can have an emotional relationship with in that particular sense, that you can have a bond with as the animal per se, for what it is.
Have you ever heard, you've heard of bacon, right? You've heard of bacon. You've heard of bacon?
Yes, but not too many people hang out with pigs.
Really? I beg to differ. The pot-bellied pig has become quite a popular pet.
Very popular. Few and far between. Let me say this.
No, not really.
Okay.
You made the statement that you cannot consume an animal that you have a personal relationship with, which I think that's bizarre. Who has a personal relationship?
Well, don't take that to an extreme when they say personal relationship.
A guy's going to get to know the horse he's going to eat?
No, the man is saying we generally don't eat animals that we keep as pets. Isn't that what you're saying, sir?
Exactly. Thank you.
All right.
I didn't want to beat that to death. The other thing is,
want to beat a dead horse.
Yeah, okay. listen. My point is your idea may fly in a limited capacity on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. The idea would not be accepted in any way, shape, or form. You have a limited amount of people in a certain culture in New York City that have small bodegas, what we call, where they have livestock that they do sell for slaughter, lambs, chickens. But we're not dealing with horses over here. And
you sell lamb.
Yes, we do.
That's an animal that you're going to have a friendship with, or whatever you wanted to call it.
I don't see that bonding process having a large following.
A lamb?
Yes, I don't know many.
Have you ever heard of Mary? You've never heard Mary had a little lamb?
That's a fairy. That's a nursery rhyme.
We didn't talk about the whole alphabet here. We're talking about Mary.
That was Mary,
Dick and Harry. Okay.
Well, guys can make a joke. You guys can make a joke, but the whole premise of the gentleman's comments, it's premised on whether or not I have a friendship with what I'm about to kill and eat.
No, it's not. It's about animals that could be pets.
That's what I meant. And you're telling me lambs are not pets.
I don't know, other than Mary had a little lamb, which is probably something that goes back hundreds of years when maybe kids did have pets as some of the farm animals were their pets. Today we live in an urban society where we don't have those kind of pets.
And once a year, the president pardons two turkeys, okay, if you want to go that route.
There's a joke there, too, but what I'm trying to say is... Yeah.
My point
is,
I'm in the business 35 years as a butcher, and I know what the public will be receptive to and what they won't. And there is a limited. They do carry ground buffalo meat, but that's pushing it. And our standards are much too rigorous over here. Would never cut it.
Well, what do you mean? First of all, the United States Congress is authorized. It's legal. And
I
secondly,
understand
if you had the neighborhood lady come in, and I'm sure there's a million of them to come and see you, and she said to you, Gary, give me 2 pounds a horse.
Not going to happen.
And she's not talking about heroin.
Not
going to
happen. The conversation would never exist.
Oh, God.
Well, what are you going to say to her? My question is, what would you say to her if she said, Gary,
we don't carry the product.
And she says, well, that's the last time I'm walking into this place.
Oh, come on.
I would say next and have a nice day. And wherever she shopped, she would be greeted with the same situation. It's not going to fly in New York City.
In the middle of a recession, if you can blow customers off that easy, hey, you know, my hat's off to you. But,
there are other ways to make the dollar, my friend.
That's right, yeah. And Gary, thank you very much, sir, for your expertise.
Thank you for taking the
call.
John.
All right. Yes, sir. 877-876. Phil, we're going to get back to more of your phone calls here. While you're making jokes, though, Ted, I think you're missing the larger point here.
No. I'm not missing the larger point. What do you mean making jokes? When she said if I want 2 pounds a horse, and I'm not talking about heroin, I was thinking of the French Connection movie, which, of course, I saw. And, of course, it's a marvelous film with Gene Hackman and Roy Scheider, who passed on recently. Fantastic movie, and I visited some of the...
All right, fine, but what we're talking about horse?
Yeah, but the horse meat question, here's a guy, you know, with all due respect to the gentleman, Gary, I hear a little jealousy. I hear a man saying, oh, I didn't think of that. Nah, it'll never fly. You know how many times Ted Bell has heard that?
Look.
No, seriously, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard, don't do that, it'll never work?
Well, I mean, if you've heard...
No. I'm saying... Yes, me, but what I'm really saying, do you know how many times Ted Bell has heard that? Let's forget about me for a minute, and let's talk about me as the Ted Bell most people know. And that is the provider of a great, well, just Ted Bell. Let's just talk about Ted Bell in the third person. How many times has Ted Bell heard, you better not do that, it's not done, nobody will go for it? How many times do you think Ted Bell's heard that?
Ted, I don't know how many times you've heard or...
I didn't say me.
You're talking about you, though, aren't you?
Would you please go with me? I'm saying how many times has...
How many times has Ted Bell heard it?
Yes.
I don't know.
Many, many times Ted Bell's heard that. And Ted Bell laughs in the face of that. When someone says to Ted Bell, you can't thus and so, Ted Bell goes, ha, ha, ha. That's what he does. If someone says to Ted Bell, like... Ted Bell's wife, Marcy, who said to him, if I see you come home and I smell that perfume on you again, I'm taking Joshua and I'm going to our place in the desert. And Ted Bell said, ha, 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 no, you're not. That's what he said.
Okay, Ted, I am talking to Ted Bell, aren't I?
No, but Phil, I'm trying to make a point.
No, you're making a ridiculous point. I got a third person. I understand that you are a Bull Brummel. I understand you're a trendsetter. I understand that you're out in front. I get it. Congratulations. The question is, and the question remains, are people going to go for it? Are people going to eat horse meat? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll get a little bit more into this article, guys, from Time Magazine. Horse meat may become available in the U.S. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We've got live streaming video of our show right now, as a matter of fact, so you can join us over there at philhenryshow.com. We have Ted Bell on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Just want to take a brief moment here to, familiarize you with our website, which is where you go and get our live streaming video. You can get podcasts of our show every day as a download the next day. You can download entire shows going all the way back to 1999 and some shows from before then. We have a news feed. We have our souvenir shop, which you can go into, and I would suggest you go into for any Phil fan in the house if you are one yourself, then go in and buy yourself something. We have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. So let me talk with Ted about those in just a second here, as well as the sale of horse meat that may be going on at his restaurant.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted, what about those new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies?
These are Hanes hoodies. They come in the large, extra large, and double extra large. It has the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo on the front, and it has, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Right there, it has that slogan right on the back, too. So the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie is available there at the Phil Hendry Show website. We want everybody to get their Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie and show people that you're not going to stand for, the maligning of our business, because we have decided that we're going to take the United States Congress up on their offer in a very difficult time, and we are going to offer people the option of purchasing this kind of horse steak or horse, a horse sandwich or whatever you want to call it, and this is an option. And again, we save on the overhead goes down, the amount that we're charged at the wholesaler goes down. And I want my audience to know that we're not paying as much. And
yeah, but that one lady said made a very good point. Why should they care?
Why should who care?
Why should the customer care if you're not passing the savings on to them?
I think the customer is going to appreciate the fact that they are eating in a man's restaurant who has an eye at the bottom line, who's got an eye on quality and on value. All right? So, no, I'm not passing the savings on to them, because if I did, then they'd think that they were eating, some kind of a substandard meat. And that's not the case. Not at Ted's. No way. Not at my place. Maybe I don't want to mention any names, but I think you know the places I'm talking about. No way. Maybe they pull that. I don't. Not at Ted's. No way.
All right. I don't really know.
I've said I don't serve... I'm not serving snake meat. I'm not serving puppy dog. Do you want me to get into detail here?
No, okay, I understand. I just, I don't think anybody's going there. Not to that extreme. 877-876-PHIL. The number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me get to some phone callers here that we've had on the line here. Now, Bob, you called back. You got a better line. So, Bob, go ahead and make your point very quickly for us. Go ahead.
All right. Again, Ted... It's your service.
Well, is this the gentleman from Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, this is him.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
What I'd like to say is up here in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure in California as well, you can go to a restaurant and you can find various restaurants, venison on your menu, rabbit on your menu, buffalo. And,
absolutely.
And they let you know you're eating venison. They let you know, but you can still get a good quality T-bone or New York strip or what have you, filet. There's nothing wrong with serving any. I don't care if you're serving a dog. I mean, people want to eat it, they'll eat it. If they don't want to eat it, they won't eat it. It's their choice. But as far as you charging for something that that you're not paying for, it's ridiculous. You're still going to make your money if your restaurant is a good restaurant.
Yeah, we have a great restaurant, but I can't right now, not in this climate, not with the tenor of the times being what they are, I can't say, here is horse, because I'm going to have all of these people. Well, here, I'll tell you why. I'm going to have all of these people, like that one lady that called up, we own horses, and we go riding on Sundays. All of these people that love to beat the hell out of their horses, but they think they're animal lovers, you see? So
absolutely.
I can't deal with that. I would rather just go ahead and have people eat horse and not tell them they're eating it.
Well,
how long have you been in business, sir?
Well, my father started the restaurant in 1976. I took it over in 1983. That's when, I like to say, that's when we really got into business.
So you're very well established, so you shouldn't have to worry about
absolutely.
Other people coming in and not... You should not lose any customers.
We're in Beverly Hills. We got a lot of liberals, and a lot of these people will say,
I understand what you're saying.
Right. We have a lot of the elderly entertainment people come in. They're very old. And if I tell them I got a horse on the menu, they're not very open-minded. And they're Jewish. And I don't know if there's a religious prohibition.
Against what? Against horse?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's kosher or not.
Is it kosher? I don't know if horse is kosher.
So you're going to serve, suppose somebody eats a kosher meal and you're going to serve them horse?
Well, what do I look like a rabbi? What I'm trying to do is...
You're not going to serve them. Yeah. Serve them a kosher meal.
Why don't you serve them?
Is there something wrong with your throat, sir? You sound like... Are you okay?
Yeah,
I'm fine. Because you...
This is how you sound like that.
Oh, okay.
Look, Bob, I'm going to let you go. Very good points, Bob. I want to discuss these with Ted. 877-876-PHIL.
You're not going to discuss anything. You're going to move on to another call, aren't you?
No, I'm going to discuss with you when we have some time this idea of serving a non-kosher meat to people that are maybe keeping kosher. I don't know. Here's David on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I drive a truck for a living. I've gone from state to state. And matter of fact, coming out of Louisiana... They serve alligator on their menu and call it alligator. But what you're trying to say is you're not going to advertise that you serve horse meat because you're afraid that your customer base is not intellectually inclined to understand that it's horse meat. I don't want you serving me up a pile of crap and calling it a steak.
It's not crap. It's horse. That's the only difference.
I'm aware.
What if it tastes good? What if it tastes good? Are you
going to
say still?
Are you
going to
serve
well,
crap?
No, I'm serving your horse.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course, that is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're just having some fun, Ted. Because we are talking here on the program. Hold on for a second. We're talking about, we're talking about the fact that horse is now legal.
Hey, can I jump in here, Phil?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to do it while you're playing this song here.
That's great. It's the Mr. Ed theme.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Well, listen to this.
I am Mr. Ed.
Well, okay, there's two things that I wanted to say.
Kill the music, bud. I'm sorry, Ted. Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of things I want to say. Number one, I'm buying time on your radio show to advertise my product, and I think that it bespeaks a terrible, terrible choice on your part to play that music, which is a mockery of a very serious product. If I say we're selling horse, and I'm not saying that we're selling horse, I'm trying to avoid causing a problem. And
I thought it was funny.
Well, no, it isn't funny. It's not funny when I'm saying that we are going to take advantage. I'm sorry. It's not funny when I say we're going to take advantage of a congressional ban that's been lifted, and you play a song like that. I got to tell you, I'm very angry.
I apologize.
Well, I'm angry for a couple of reasons. I'm angry because you've just damaged my business. And I'm angry because you think it's funny. And not only that, I remember that television show, the Mr. Ed show. I think a lot of us do. I remember it fondly. I remember the theme music to that television show. I don't know what that song was that you played. It sounded terrible. It doesn't sound like the original. And the man at the end that was the voice of Mr. Ed was horrible. This is the way he sounded. I don't know. He sounded like that gentleman from Pennsylvania. So what I'm saying is this. I think it takes a lot of moxie and chutzpah to mock my business when I'm paying you, I'm paying you a lot of money. Okay? I'm paying you a lot of money to advertise on your program.
Well, I apologize. I thought it was a funny thing.
And I haven't heard the commercial that we spend a lot of money to advertise, to use to, in advertising. I haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my commercial. I still haven't heard my commercial. Okay. I'm going to hang this phone up.
I'm sorry, Ted. We had two audio sources. Here is the commercial.
I hope you go to hell. I do. I hope when you die, you go to hell.
Steakhouse, come on.
God. What do you want me to say?
What do I want you to say? Okay, never mind.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Ted, you know, I can't do the show without you. I'm apologizing I'm very, very apologetic to do that. I did not mean to mock your business. All right?
You did, and you damaged my business. And by playing the Mr. Ed theme. But in other words, what you're saying is what people are going to be eating in my restaurant, children are going to be eating a good product, a healthy product, but you want children that are listening to your program tonight to think that they're going to eat Mr. Ed. That's what you want.
No, I don't. And I dare say I don't expect children to be listening to this show.
But that's the message. The message is, isn't it funny? Let's take a family situation, why don't you just say that I want you to eat my favorite Martian? Why don't you have the Martian theme and say that people can eat a Martian? They can come into my restaurant and eat Ray Walston or whoever the gentleman was. Is that what you want? And I know you're laughing.
It's very difficult not to be amused slightly at how far out you're taking this. I apologize.
I pay advertising on your program. Do I not pay for advertising on your program? Turn it down. Do I not?
Yes, sir, you do.
Then why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme? Why do you mock me with a Mr. Ed theme?
I wasn't intending to mock you. I was mocking the topic.
And the topic is something that I sell in my restaurant that I'm trying to promote on your show.
That is true.
And you're making a joke out of it.
That, I suppose, is true. That was a bad choice.
You know something? Of all the idiots that I could have been advertising on, you know, you guys in talk radio, and I don't mean any offense, Phil, but of all of the imbeciles... every talk show that I listen to, you guys are all a bunch of idiots as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there's 5 ounces worth of brains between you, Hannity, any of them. I think you're all idiots. And the fact that the reason why I chose your show is because they told me that you were a little bit more personable and you were a little bit better broadcaster and all of this stuff. Well, as far as I can see, you're no brighter than the dumbest guy I've ever heard. But the dumbest guy I've ever heard on the radio is Rick Dees. I don't think you even have his brains. You listening to me?
Yes, sir, I am.
I don't think you're even as smart as that the guy that they had on that they fired. What's the guy's name? Howard Stern? I don't even think you're as smart as him.
They didn't fire Howard Stern.
Well, whatever they did with him, they got him off my radio. I don't even think you're as smart as him. I think all you guys... So I come on your show, I want to advertise on your show, and what do I get for my trouble? What do I get for my money? You're going to mock my product?
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
The fact that you're selling horse meat is controversial. Would you agree with that?
No, I will not agree with that. What I'm selling is a good product. Since when is a good product controversial?
All right, but let's just say this. It is a news topic, at least, and there may be some difference of opinion. And we have seen that there's some difference of opinion. You've had professionals call. You've had consumers call. You had a truck driver call. People that will eat steak, people that probably eat a lot of steak, saying that they want to know what they're eating, and you don't want to tell people what it is.
I've been trying to tell you for the last hour and 15 minutes that I'm not going to mention the word horse. that I will mention the word horse insofar as we're talking about the law. But when it comes to what I sell in my restaurant, I'm not going to say to people, and by the way, do you want a horse steak? Because I might as well say to them, by the way, would you like a dog steak? Do you want puppy stew? And I told you that when you said that to me, you might as well be telling the audience out there, by the way, we'll be back with Jerry Sandusky in just a moment.
No.
What are you laughing at?
I think that's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous when you take into consideration what people think of this topic.
That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to call you Jerry Sandusky, you know.
Well, you know, I got people out there saying I'm selling horse meat, and I'm lying to them, and you playing that Mr. Ed theme. I don't want to hear that again. You understand me?
I won't play it again.
You understand me, though?
Yeah, I will not play it again. I apologize, but let's keep talking about this, okay?
We can keep talking about it, but I'm not going to say what you want me to say, which is, oh, hey, Ted, tell us about the horse steak. I'm not going there.
Well, we can talk about the product.
Talk about the product in a general way, but I do not want to say I'm selling horse, because you know what that sounds like. I just told you what it sounds like. It sounds like I want to go and get a shower after the workout, and oh, yeah, it's only 11:30 at night, and go ahead and slide along the floor there in your underwear. Like I'm saying that to you, and you're six.
How did you... Can I ask a question?
No, look, Phil.
How did you get to child molesting from selling horse steak?
Because that's what you guys do. That's what you guys do. You take a man's business, and you will defame a man if it gets you a couple of ratings points.
I'm not doing anything of the sort, and I categorically reject that. I haven't done anything of the sort.
Phil, you're talking about me selling horse steak like I decided, oh, do you want to go work out? I know it's your 10th birthday, but let's go work out. And by the way, take your underwear off and slide along the slimy floor of that shower. And
you know what? Your mind, you got a one-track mind, my friend. And
what is that supposed to mean?
It means it's very interesting how you take this topic of horse meat and turn it into child molestation. I haven't said anything of the sort about your business. I would never say anything like that. We have a disagreement, of course. I'm not trying to defame or malign you. You've come on my program. You, Ted, we're talking about the law. So we're going to talk about the law. 877-876-PHIL. We've got people hanging on. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we continue talking. The article that I'm referring to is in Time Magazine from today, the 30th of November. Horse meat may become available in the U.S. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have got a delicious prime rib on Sunday. And yes, we have the Ted special, the 8-ounce or 12-ounce. I guarantee it's the best steak you're ever going to have in your life. We wanna put our meat in your mouth. And by the way, that slogan there, Phil, that's on the back of the hoodies.
That's right. Get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie at the Phil Hendry shop at philhendryshow.com. It's a great Christmas gift, Ted.
I would think it's a great Christmas gift for people that are fans of Ted's of Beverly Hills, people that are fans of the Phil Hendry Show. It's in our Ted's of Beverly Hills official colors, our blue, black, and white. It is a black hoodie, and you got it in extra large, Phil. What are the sizes?
We got large, extra large, and double extra large. And we also, of course, on the back, as you say, in white, is the Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And
so you can wear that proudly wherever you go, and just walk in front of somebody with that on the back of your hoodie, and I'm sure they're going to just be very impressed. Now then, well, you told me that's where you thought it ought to go.
I think, yes, I think your advertising slogan would be best on the back. Anyway, Ted is with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the possibility that horse meat the ban on the sale of horse meat for consumption in the United States may be lifted. And it's very interesting, Ted, because we have a lot of different issues at stake here. We have, for some people, it may be a nutrition or a health issue.
Well, it's not a nutrition or a health issue, and I wish you wouldn't say that. It's healthy, it's lean. These are horses that ran in some of the most prestigious stakes races in the country. And, you know, so how can that not be a healthy cut of meat if you've got an animal that was one of the top thoroughbreds?
You know what? There's something ghoulish about that.
What are you talking about?
I'm a horse racing fan and a fan of great horses, and you're selling these animals. I thought you said they didn't win.
Well, they weren't winners, but they were in the Derby. They were in the Cap, the Sanity, the Big Cap, Sanity, the Handicap, and so forth. Not all of them, but some of them.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's get to some phone calls we have hanging on here. Greg, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Phil.
Yes,
a little angry about the kosher thing. I think, the horse meat's one thing, but to not tell people that it's kosher or not kosher, you don't know what you're doing to those people's psyche when you do that.
You know how to make
a kosher decision.
What do you want from me? Are you trying to tell me that horse meat is not kosher? It's got to be kosher.
No, because beef is not kosher if you cut it off the wrong end. You got to cut the meat on the right end. And you got to make sure you don't get any entrails or anything on the meat. And then a rabbi comes and says, you're doing it, and then it's okay. And you need to be doing that.
I just want to be clear. You want me to drag a rabbi in there at all hours of the night to make sure that I'm cutting up?
Well, you're not slaughtering the horse yourself, are you?
No, but this guy's telling me that I can't serve horse unless I got a rabbi in the kitchen.
No, I'm telling you, you can't. You got to cut very carefully around the ass end, and that's the truth. Look it up on the internet, and you can't get those entrails on it, and it should be certified by a rabbi. You can do it the day before. You don't have to do it right there as you're slapping it on the grill.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I'm not going to sit there playing with a horse's ass. What is that about?
Talking about the proper way of slaughtering it, right, Greg?
Correct. And if he's going to have him slaughtered, he has to have him certified by a rabbi.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What if I say that I did?
If you said you did? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who goes to hell, the guy eating it or you.
I see. So I'm going to go to hell, huh? What do you mean the guy eating it? If the guy eating it's not going to rot in hell. I am.
And well, why does he have to eat kosher meat in the first place?
I don't know. But if I say to the guy, oh, yeah, sure, it's kosher, and he eats it, he's not going to go to hell. I will. Yeah. But I'm not Jewish, so I won't go to hell either.
Look, I don't know. It sounds to me, Ted, like you're mocking Judaism now.
Will you give it a rest?
That's exactly what it sounds like you're doing. You're mocking somebody's religion. You're going to go ahead and sell something to a guy claiming that it's kosher. It may sound silly to you, but people that keep kosher, they're serious about it. If you sell a guy a product that's not kosher and you claim it is, hey, good luck, man.
And Russian old believers, too.
They're going to serve me up for dinner?
Yeah, they may. I hope you're kosher.
You know, you're real funny, and again, I want to remind you, I'm on your show advertising on your show.
Well, you know what? You're not going to be advertising for much longer if you're telling Jewish folks, come on into my restaurant. Yeah, horse is kosher, and I'm going to serve it, and it's not.
Because you didn't prepare it right.
What, are you Jewish, sir?
No, I got a lot in the office, and they tell me what they have to eat, and I make sure that I ask the butcher.
You ask the butcher?
Yeah, there's a butcher. There's a prime rib, Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib. Are you sure this isn't a gag? Is this guy...
No, he's a caller.
No, are you on old Seward and 76?
You're joking,
no,
aren't you?
No, look it up. Mr. Prime Rib.
Mr. Prime Rib, huh? And
right.
What, is Mr. Prime Rib kosher? Or is he a rabbi?
He makes it kosher.
No, what I'm saying is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
What do you mean, is Mr. Prime Rib a rabbi?
I got a restaurant in Beverly Hills, California, my man.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more Jew intensive than that.
Okay, I've had about enough of that, all right? I don't want to hear that. Either you're keeping a kosher food, you know, either you're serving a kosher meal.
This guy's talking about Mr. Prime Ribs or Rabbi, and you're saying I'm making jokes?
He didn't say Mr. Prime Ribs or Rabbi.
What?
I said there's a Mr. Prime Ribs store, and they know how to prepare it by doing it the correct way so that it's kosher.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet they know how to prepare it.
Well, they make sure they cut away and there's no entrails, et cetera. And the same with the old...
Where is this place? Where is this? Where's this Mr. Prime Rib, anyway? Where's it located?
In Anchorage.
Are you talking about in Alaska?
Yeah, just up the coast.
They got... Are you trying to tell me they got three Jewish people in Alaska?
No, they don't. You know something, Ted? Thank you very much. It's Greg, right? Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on. I think that, Ted, you're right, too. You have Jewish customers. You ought to know better. So quit making the jokes, okay?
I'm making a couple of laughs, but I'm telling you right now, you know, you don't have to worry about the horse not being kosher at my place. This guy's in Anchorage, Alaska. He's trying to tell me Mr. Prime Rib. Yeah, uh-huh. I bet you that's not all he's called.
Were you making a joke about him being a rabbi?
No, this guy led me to believe that they had a rabbi in Alaska named Mr. Prime Rib.
No, he did not. He said it's a restaurant. Let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL. See, that's the other thing. If you're going to serve horse, and you are serving horse in a restaurant, obviously, and you have Jewish customers, and they are keeping kosher, you have to be able to assure them that that is a kosher meal. Although I don't really know if someone is on a strict kosher diet, if they're going to a steakhouse, or maybe. 877-876-PHIL is horse, and Ted Bell is going to be selling horse meat in his restaurant. Do you want to know that's what you're eating? If it's a good steak, does it matter to you whether it came from a steer or a horse? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
California. Listen, if you're visiting California, you got to come to Ted's. You must come to Ted's and have a steak. Have one of our Ted's specials.
Here at Ted's,
let's not talk about where it's from. Let's talk about where it's going into your stomach. And have a drink in our prime rib room, Phil. We got a great weekend of football coming up. I love this time of year.
I do, too. It's playoff time. It's right around the corner.
Playoff time is around the corner. I love this time of year with the bowl games. And SC is playing, I think SC is playing Oregon. So if you're in town, if you're in Southern California, wherever you are, you're going to pay a visit to California. Come on to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And we do have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies available in our shop.
I want to make a point. You were talking during the break, Phil.
Go ahead.
You were talking about the religious sects and the religious cults in the early part of the 19th century here in America. You were referring to the Great Awakening.
That's correct, yeah.
All right. I don't know what you're talking about. I think a lot of what you talk about is very obtuse and very esoteric, and it goes over the heads of a lot of people. And I don't know whether you're trying to make a point about the kosher horse or whatever, but what I'd like you to do is when you're talking about stuff, even off the air, I want it to be something that I understand. And
I was talking about the Great Awakening as a period in American history. During the period of the Jackson and even before the Jackson presidency, where there was a number of religious sects and religious groups, there's quite a few in America, and we had more cults at that time, in fact, than we probably have now.
No, I understand what that was about, but are you making a were you talking about the Great Awakening, saying that somebody ought to have a Great Awakening, you know, like I'm because of what I'm eating, you know, because of what I'm eating or what I'm serving, like we need a Great Awakening about that? Or wake up or something like that?
What do you mean, wake up?
Wake, wake up Ted selling horse? Is that what you're trying to...
No, I'm not trying to say anything like that. I was discussing with the guys something completely unrelated.
Well, you have had a number of opinions about what we're selling, and that's why I've said I don't want to even mention the word. And
well, you said that much of the product you're selling, this particular meat, some of it comes from thoroughbreds that ran in some of the biggest races in the country. And I don't know that that is actually, I don't think that that's a very positive endorsement, because you're saying, on the one hand, it's a delicious meat, and it's lean, and it's healthy. And on the other hand, you are invoking, in my mind, images of a sport that I happen to like very much, thoroughbred racing. Okay?
Yeah. So what I don't understand.
I just don't like the idea that those beautiful creatures that run around the track, I'm going to have on a plate in front of me.
See, right there. I told you not to do that, and you do it. And
well, you brought up the thoroughbred racing aspect.
I did, yes.
Okay, when I think of thoroughbred horse racing, I think of horses that I've liked. I think of...
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking of Foolish Pleasure.
I'm not asking you to come into my restaurant and have and eat Foolish Pleasure for dinner. What kind of a jackass place? Can you imagine that? Yeah, come on in, folks, and get yourself some Foolish Pleasure stew. What is that? You'd have to be some real jackass. In fact, one of the things that I had to deal with, and I dealt with this through my attorney, Bill Larson, and I also dealt with it with Frank Gray, who also represents me. We went to court, and I sued one of the other restaurateurs here on the street. I'm not going to mention his name, because he was letting it out there that Ted Bell is going to be putting jackass on his menu. So, in other words, it wasn't even the aforementioned animal that we're talking about. He said that we were selling jackass, as in literally a jackass.
Like a donkey.
Yeah. Burro. Yeah, go to Ted Bell's. He's serving burro steak. Now, I don't know whether that's any good or not. I don't even want to guess.
Well, what if it was good?
Well, don't start backing me into a corner, okay?
So in other words, but if it tastes good, you'd serve burro.
I wouldn't go on your show and say I'm serving burro. I would do something in terms of the euphemism, the advertising.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get over to Amy. Amy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Yes, hi.
This has been an amazing hour. I am a first-time listener and caller.
Thank you.
Phil, I so commend you, Phil, for how you have... handled this entire program. Ted, I was...
Appreciate it.
I'm amazed at how defensive Ted is, and how everything that whatever people say, he twists it and is very defensive when we're trying to learn about this, and if he doesn't like it...
Well, I apologize. Let me apologize. And I'm willing to hear anything you've got to say. And the young lady's name is what, Bill?
This is Amy.
Amy, I'm sorry I'm sorry if I've come across. But you understand, I've got competitors of mine that are going door to door on my street saying Ted Bell is serving jackass steak.
Well, okay? You know, maybe they mean, and I mean this with no disrespect, but they might be saying, because of your attitude, you sound like a burro. You got angry, and when they tried to make a light joke of playing that Mr. Ed.
I thought that was uncalled for.
Okay. And then 2 minutes later, you were making a Jewish joke because you thought it was a little lighthearted. Now, you know, it's tit for tat there. You know, if you don't want to make jokes about that, then just talk about your business, and you could say, well, I'd rather not listen to that. The anger that is, I just feel like I kept listening to this, and I keep thinking, oh my goodness, when he hears this tomorrow, he's really,
I've been in business
so
for a long time. What Jewish jokes did I make, by the way? I have a lot of Jewish customers. I'd be very interested to know, because I don't think I made any per se jokes. I did say something along the lines,
comment. I mean, I'm not, I have no intentions of getting into an argument or debate with you. I'm just simply saying
And I don't mean any disrespect, ma'am, but it sounds like you're blowing your nose with the phone.
Okay.
And this is what you did. You went like, That's what it sounded like.
All right, Ted, let me handle that, okay?
I apologize.
That's okay.
If you can stay close to the phone for us, Amy, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it just sounded like she was rubbing her nose with it.
Phil, yes. I appreciate you helping out here. I just wanted to simply say that it's not fair that you're not being honest of what you're selling in your store, and people are trying to tell you that. And then bottom line, if you listen to this tomorrow and hear how twisted your responses were, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. You're going to be really embarrassed.
Wait a second. What twisted? Ma'am, you're talking to me like I'm some kind of a drooling mongoloid. All I said...
That's not necessary.
Exactly. Well, wait a minute.
You know what you sound like? You sound like an angry alcoholic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I happen to be the owner of one of the biggest steakhouses on the West Coast, and you say I sound like an alcoholic.
Well, you ripped into me there in the first part of the hour.
But you know what, Ted? There's the arrogance there. Like, look at me. I have this big business. And whenever somebody says something that you don't understand or you don't want to hear, then you start giving
digs and comments. Do you know what you're doing? But do you know what you're taking on here? Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Ted Bell, okay?
Exactly.
Bill Keller.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And you and you're laughing at me, and you're laughing at me, and you think you're going to get away with that? How?
Look at Ted.
No, hold on, Phil.
You know what? I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing at me.
I am laughing at the comments that you are making.
You are laughing at Ted Bell. And Ted Bell,
you know what?
And I can tell you this.
When you're talking...
Amy can handle herself.
All right, you know what?
With Ted Bell.
Hey, okay, guess what?
Hey, Phil.
You're
never,
ever coming into my restaurant. Never.
Sweetie, I have no intention of coming to your restaurant. Phil,
thank you very much. You'll never get in. I'll never let you in. And if I know you're in the restaurant, I'll have you bodily removed.
Oh boy. How did we get to this point? This is ridiculous, okay?
So all the Amy's you're going to remove from your restaurant. Hey, Phil,
I'll know it's you from the attitude. But I will tell you this, Amy.
Hey, Phil,
I don't serve jackass steak. I serve the other kind.
Horse.
And I told you not to say that.
Horse. Why? That's what you're telling. If you're going to...
Okay, thank you very much. Are you going to hang up on her? Are you going to hang up on her? Or do I have to drive to her house and rip her phone out of the wall?
Wow. Hey, Phil.
Don't give me that wow. You were the one that called me a jackass. You're the one that started this.
Okay, look at Amy, thank you.
Where's she calling
from?
I'm not telling you.
I demand to know where you're calling from.
Don't tell him where you're calling. Amy, thank you very much. Good call. 877-876-PHIL. Good night.
So you refused to tell me where she was calling from. Excuse me.
Have you been drinking?
You know, Phil, I'm not going to make that the issue here, okay?
Have you been drinking?
I've had a couple of drinks, yeah. Am I not allowed? I work my ass off.
When you come on my show and you're going to be answering questions...
I had a couple of pops, okay? It's been a very tough week. God! I pulled down a bottle of Knob Creek, and you want to know something? I poured myself more than one. That's right. I had a couple. And I'll tell you something else. 12-year-old stuff. You want to hear more?
No, I don't want to hear more. If you want to have a couple of pops... And you got off work, that's fine. Don't belch into the phone to let the whole world know it, if you don't mind.
I apologize. I didn't know that was coming out.
And the lady's right. I don't think you're an alcoholic, but you sound like you're raging drunk in that very first segment in the hour.
Well, you might as well tell people I'm an alcoholic. Oh!
All right, let's take a break here before I... 877-876-PHIL.
Remember you hang up?
Don't hang up on him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
How'd you like that?
famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, and this weekend we are going to roll out our Ted special 12 and 8 ounce steaks. Absolutely delicious with the Ted barbecue sauce. And get a Ted with that. That, of course, is our rum and coke. And we got some football this weekend, Phil, and we have the college games on Saturday. And I have, to answer your question, the Dunphy brothers who were in that weekend. You remember the Stanford game?
Well, I know that you lost some money to them.
I did. They're coming in this weekend, and they have promised me a rematch, if you will. They're taking Oregon. And I lost a pile of money to them on the UCLA game. And
you didn't take UCLA, did you?
Well, yes, I did, because I graduated from there. Wow. Of course I did.
I didn't know. I apologize.
Well, no, I told you I graduated from UCLA.
You did, and I forgot, and it would be natural, but did you get points?
No, I don't do that. Look, I bet on my alma mater. It was a disgrace. It was humiliating. That's two times now the Dunphys have been in on a Saturday night and have taken every bit of actual folding and spending money I've got. I find that amazing because I never go out of the house with less say than $1,000 in cash. I always keep cash on me, and I keep a good amount of cash on me. And every single time I've bet those two guys, that's been three times this year, they have cleaned me out of everything I've had on me. Because that's what I bet. I
generally bet what you're carrying.
Yeah. Just about a $1,000 bet.
Well.
Well, what?
Well, I mean, unless you got that UCLA-SC game and you didn't get any points.
What are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me?
I'm trying to tell you that SC was a heavy favorite in the game.
I don't care. It's the USC-UCLA game. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes, I know what that is. It's a big crosstown game, and I get it. But SC's a heavily favored team. They're on a roll.
That game, you throw all the stats out. Boy, I thought you knew something about football. That's too bad. I really thought you knew something about football. Apparently you don't.
No, I know about football. You're telling me you throw the stats out in a game like that? Yes, you're right, you do. But I did not know. All right.
You're full of a lot of opinions tonight, Phil, and unfortunately, all of them are pissing me off.
Sorry. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to another caller here. We have Ian. Ian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
How's it going, Phil? Thanks for having me on.
Good, thank you. Good.
I'm actually just curious, Ted, as far as you said that you were coming onto the program to kind of promote the fact that, you know, Congress has allowed, you know, is potentially going to allow horse meat to be sold, and, you know, you seem to be selling that product. You don't really seem to be behind it. I don't know why you're so defensive about what people think about the product and why you're not going to share with your consumers what you're selling. It seems that you should be standing behind the product and voicing strongly that you believe in the product. Otherwise, you're contributing to the negative.
I do. 100%.
It sounds like you're contributing to the negative pool with all this fear, and like you don't want to call it horse. You're contributing to the negative kind of energy that it seems to have right now.
Well, I'll tell you, your name's Ian. Ian.
Yes.
I believe in business. I believe in consumer confidence. I don't know that I relate necessarily to the term negative energy. I don't really know what you mean by that. But let's just say that. That I do support my product at 150%. We are excited this weekend. We're going to have on our menu our Ted special, which is a 12-ounce or 8-ounce. So I don't know what you mean that I'm not supporting it.
Well, he means by the fact that you don't want to mention the word horse.
Boy,
you guys will
do anything you can. You'll do anything you can to stick that word in there, won't you?
That's the product. That's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about horse meat, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. In Japan, they serve basashi, which is basically just raw, thinly sliced horse. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with the product.
Can I tell you something? Because I've been in the restaurant business a long time. Anytime you mention Japan and food, Westerners, They don't like it. And I'll tell you why. Even though we do eat sushi, when you say Japan and food, most Westerners are thinking of octopus and a lot of slop that they don't want to go near. So
yeah, octopus is called
Japan.
Taco. I'm familiar.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And you may like it. But most Americans, when you say Japan and you say, oh, you know, food, most people think of slop, unedible slop.
Well, I don't.
I would disagree with that. I think of sushi. I've worked for many sushi bar chains in this country. I'm a bar manager, and I've opened many restaurants with many other businessmen, and I don't understand that concept. You seem very guarded about your opinion of what people think.
Most people, because I'm a restaurateur myself, most people, when they think of Japan and food, they think of really weird seafood that you got to eat raw, and it's just vile. So nothing you can keep down. Nothing a white man can keep down.
And what market pool are you sourcing this from? God.
What are you talking about, Phil?
What do you mean nothing a white man could keep down?
I mean a Westerner, okay?
Well, you know there's all kinds of colors of people.
All kinds of colored people? Wow. Did you hear what he just said?
I said there's all kinds of colored people here.
Colored people.
You know, Ted, we can do this dance all you want, but the point that this gentleman is making is he disagrees with you. He's in the restaurant business. He's a bar manager. He's worked in Japanese restaurants. He's served to Westerners, and he finds many people like that food.
Well, maybe it's a steakhouse thing. I mean, a lot of the people come into steakhouses, they like Western food. They like American steak. And when you say to them, oh, hey, there's a Japanese place, they it doesn't register. All they're thinking about is poison. They think they're going to eat something that's going to poison them.
Where is the market pool from? I would like to know where this information is coming
I just told you. They're steakhouse people. Now, so I'm going to sell them a steak. You want me to come up to the guy and say, hi, welcome to Ted's where we serve horse. That's what you want me to do? I don't think so.
I think it's very fair to your customers to tell them what you're serving. And if you want to take a French term for horse, if you want to take a term from another country, if you just don't want to call it that and call it by its other name, then that'd be fine. But
I don't understand something. I don't understand this. First of all, you're telling me what the Japanese think. Now you're bringing in the French. You know, we're in America, right? You check that out?
Absolutely. And what is America outside of a melting pot?
A place where you eat steak?
Absolutely. And guess what? You want to serve horse, and that's fine. But you need to tell people that you're serving them horse.
Would you please not? Would you tell your callers not to say that?
No, I'm not going to tell my callers that. No, I'm not.
I'm telling you, and I'm telling this
Phil's
guy,
been
don't
pretty gracious,
horse.
And you've been pretty rude during this program, so...
No, I have not. I'm trying to tell the guy, don't say horse, and you come on and you keep saying it.
Well, now you're saying it.
God!
That's the whole point of the conversation is about horse, isn't it?
Would you stop with the horse?
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go any place, every place, to take you beyond and through the looking glass and go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, because we ain't going to waste your time here. At least we'll try not to. Welcome to our program, and again, we're here every night. Saturday nights to do a local show here. For the Los Angeles market, but we are available at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show, and a 5-day video archive is available on our website. So if you've missed seeing how we perform our show, you can go and watch it there. You can also access thousands of hours of archived radio shows, full radio shows, all the way back to every radio show, as a matter of fact, all the way back to 1999. We have select character bits that you can listen to. We are going to be making available for download a number of our best of CDs. That is, you will be able to go and download the individual cuts as opposed to just buying the CD itself. So those of you that are interested in the material, but not necessarily buying the CD because you don't really collect all the artwork and things like that, you can do that. Just a lot of things in store for you as we move into the new year, 2020. 12 at philhendryshow.com. And our merchandise store is where you can shop for Christmas. And we do have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies. These babies are selling out. We've already sold out of our larges, and we've reordered, so don't worry about it. But it is, it's a pretty hot little item. The Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, it's black. It's got the Ted's of Beverly Hills blue and white logo on the front. And we want to put our meat in your mouth on the back. And you should go with life, should go through life, I should say, with some kind of meaningful purpose, some sort of slogan that is yours. And that's about as good as we can offer you at this time. So check it out there on our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where we are right now, streaming our show live. What is that in the background there, bud?
It's the chair.
It is the chair. Let me get that out of there. It's interrupting my groovy-ass green screen experience. All right. You know, I'm so intrigued by the story. We just did 2 hours with Ted Bell on horse meat. But if you'd like to know more about it, I will just once again recommend the article in Time Magazine. It came out today, November the 30th, Time Magazine, Horse Meat May Become Available in the United States. I saw a great deal of reaction to it on Twitter, and it wasn't good. People were outraged. And they were outraged on the basis of what a couple of the people were saying, you know.
Yeah, well, they're talking about it's like somebody's pet, you know, and you make it legal to eat a pet.
Well, what difference? I mean, if it's your pet, you're not going to eat no pet. But if a person want to eat it.
Well, I think Bud probably has the logical argument. It's a very interesting, it's interesting, isn't it? We extend protection to things in our world. We extend protection to forests. We extend protection to... You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
I mean, we do things that we value. For instance, we protect certain parts of nature, green space, open space, forests, national park. We protect parts of nature that are valuable to us. Valuable because they restore our soul, they invigorate our spirit, it's a place for us to relax and to renew ourselves. And so why wouldn't we extend the same protection to animals that provide us with this kind of companionship, animals that we've come to love, animals that we have domesticated over thousands of years? These are animals. They're not wild animals. These are animals that have become a part of the human family, if you will, because they are domesticated. So they...
What I mean domesticated?
Yeah, does it mean they're born trained?
Yeah, it sort of means they're born... What domestication means, as opposed to training... Those are two different things. You can train an animal. You can train any wild animal. You've seen it happen. We've trained lions and we've trained tigers. But those are not domesticated. That means that those animals have not been brought along by human beings through generations of breeding and generations of exposure to human beings and generations of experiencing human beings as a part of their extended pack, if you will, or their hunting group. Dogs, they say, are pack animals. Cats are singular predatory animals. But both of those animals have been domesticated. And I'll give you an example of what that means. They now believe that puppies and kittens, when they're born, immediately recognize human beings as a familiar creature, as a part of their experience, their experience of life. So that's something that a kitten and a puppy, first born, they experience that. Now, that is not something that a wild animal is going to experience. A wild animal will see a human being immediately as some kind of an enemy or some kind of a creature that they need to be wary of, or at least it's a creature that's not has nothing whatsoever to do with their experience of themselves or the other animals around them. So with a dog and a cat,
you stay like a cat and see what that person looks like?
Cats recognize the human, yes. Dogs recognize humans. From the time they're born, they recognize humans as a normal part of their life. So that's domestication. Horses were domesticated 5,000 years ago. And with the domestication of the horse came the expansion of the human family on this planet. So while humans on foot traversed the globe and eventually wound up in all kinds of places, once we domesticated the horse, that became that there was an explosion of human migration and travel. We Europeans began to regularly travel to Asia and back again, and vice versa. Although, I don't know, you know, do you know of any Asians that came to Europe?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, what about Charlie Chan?
What do you mean, Charlie Chan?
You talking about Charlie Chan? You talking about way back?
Well, I don't know. You said if there are any
Asians. Get out of here with Charlie Chan. I'm talking about way back. Do you know any Asians that came to Europe? Yeah, Charlie Chan. Boy, bud, talk about a cultural reference that nobody's going to get.
Well, I just seen it on TV the other day. You were watching it.
That's true, I was. So anyway, make a long story short, that's where that's at. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. World-famous Phil Henry Show presenting. We were going to have Larry Grover on. In fact, we are going to have Larry on for a much more condensed segment coming up here in just a few minutes. And Larry's going to talk to us about Herman Cain and what that guy is going through. And I think you'll find it very edifying because Larry has a singularly, he doesn't have a unique point of view so much as he has a, his view of what Herman Cain is living is not unique, but his view of what we all ought to do about it probably is. Question for justices. If the Privacy Act is violated, when is the government liable? The Supreme Court heard arguments today in a case, I should say yesterday, in a case brought by a pilot whose HIV status was disclosed in violation of a federal law that protects private information. The case involved, as a lower court judge put it, the collision of a good many laudable public policies, including ones to ensure the safety of the nation's airways, to root out waste, fraud, and abuse in the Social Security system, and to secure personal privacy of citizens. All of these things collided. By the time the case reached the Supreme Court, though, it had boiled down to a single issue. When did, or what, rather, did Congress mean when it said people could sue for the actual damages suffered as a consequence of violations of the Privacy Act of 1974? Now, you understand there's a Privacy Act, but what does that Privacy Act mean if you have AIDS? And people need to know that there's a possibility of just a remote possible, you know, a remote possibility of infection, however remote. I mean, we do see our emergency responders wearing gloves, as we see police officers wearing gloves. We even see trainers working basketball, football, hockey games wearing rubber gloves. Dentists. So this is an acknowledgement that we want to protect ourselves from infection and we want to protect other people from being infected. So while that's going on, the need to know, well, exactly what kind of risk am I taking here? There's also the privacy of that individual. Who gets to know that I have HIV, that I'm HIV positive? These are tough questions. This is why we have a Supreme Court. And this is why I don't have any patience at all. I don't have any patience with people who are continually finding fault with Supreme Court decisions, saying that the Supreme Court got it wrong when they themselves are thinking of it only in terms of politics. They're not thinking of it in terms of the Constitution. Now, we got enough examples of justices. Well, anyway.
Yeah, who cares, man?
I care, bud, okay?
Yeah, but boring.
Yeah, it's boring. Move on.
Oh, well, get a load of you guys.
Yeah, just move on, man.
Jesus. All right, I'll move on, okay?
Yeah, move on.
Great, I'm moving on. Here, you read it.
What's the matter?
You read it. You guys want me to move on? You read it.
Where are you going?
Shut up.
Did he leave?
Yeah.
No, we're just kidding, Phil.
I don't care.
No. You
gotta read it, man.
I don't have to read it. He
said for you to read it.
The Supreme Court... The Supreme Court... What do I do?
Read it, man.
The Supreme Court of America. Then they said that that Mr. Cooper.
Give me that, man. They said that the plaintiff, Stanmore Cooper, private pilot, he conceded that he had not lost any money because one government agency told another that he was infected with HIV. But he said the disclosure had caused him acute emotional distress, including sleeplessness, loss of appetite, physical tension, agitation, isolation from friend, and anxiety.
Yeah, what's that mean?
It means he didn't lose nothing. He's trying to, I don't think he's got a case.
He didn't lose no money.
Right.
What should we do?
We're going to be right back here on the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We'll do an iron swine or something.
Yeah.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Give Henry Show.
Big baby.
I'm not a baby. You guys are giving me crap.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Time now on a Phil Henry Show. It's time for Iron Swine.
Your Iron Swine. Excuse me. Iron Swine.
Let me do it. Iron Swine is going to go to Ted of Beverly Hills. They are serving a horse sandwich over there.
Yeah. They're not allowed to serve no horse until, I guess, if it's legal. It's probably not legal yet. So, Iron Swine... He's going to go over and tell Ted you can't sell no horse.
Yeah. He was selling a horse kebab sandwich.
Yeah.
So Iron Swine's going to go over there now.
You don't have to make the sound of the car.
What? Anyway, we got to get some sound effects in this show. Okay. Iron Swine pulling up to go to Ted of Beverly Hills because he heard that Ted of Beverly Hills was selling a... horse sandwich, and he has to find out if that's true or not. And one of the ways that he has to find out if it's true or not is if he pulls up, okay, he pulls up there in front of Iron Swine restaurant, and he hears the following song.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Yeah, there it is.
Hey, Iron Swine, I think you're selling horse.
Horse, of course.
Yeah, you are. He's selling a horse sandwich.
Of course, that is, of course, unless the horse is...
Hey, are you Ted of Beverly Hills?
Yeah, I'm Ted of Beverly Hills. What's the matter?
I heard you were selling a horse sandwich, ma'am.
What's it to you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take your horse meat, unless, of course, you're selling it with horseradish.
Yeah, we got some.
Okay, in that case, it's legal.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it, man.
Iron Swine.
Iron Swine. So, Ted of Beverly Hills, he's all right. He was selling with a horseradish.
Oh.
Yeah, you're laughing at it, so you must think it's funny.
It is. It's very funny, man. Irish. All right. What are you playing number 9 Dream for?
I don't mean to do it here.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Iron Swine.
With horseradish.
Horse is a horse.
I get it already with horseradish.
Don't do a horse, of course, that is.
You realize I got my ass chewed out by Ted of Beverly Hills. Sounds like he's a hairdresser.
Why?
See, I don't know why. It just sounds like Ted of Beverly Hills sounds like he's a hairdresser.
I don't understand. What's that mean, a hairdresser?
For some... Will you turn that off? For some reason, I don't know why it is, if you say Ted's of Beverly Hills, it sounds like a steakhouse, which is what it is.
Yeah.
But if you say Ted of Beverly Hills, he sounds like he's a hairdresser.
You said he sounds gay.
No, I didn't say he sounds gay. No, I didn't. I just said, for some reason, hairdressers, I don't know why, but when they name their place, it's like Phil of...
I'm sure you're going to be a hairdresser.
Yeah, man. So you're a bald head, man. You can't be a hairdresser.
Will you listen to me? I'm saying Phil of El Pacifico. What if I said Phil's of El Pacifico?
Be a steakhouse.
Okay. But if I say Phil of El Pacifico...
Sound like you're Zorro or something.
Yeah, it sounds like you're Zorro.
Sounds like I'm Zorro? What? What are you guys high?
You're the one that's high. You're talking about Phil of... It sounds like you wear a cape.
I'll talk to you wear a cape.
If I call myself Phil of El Pacifico, I sound like I wear a cape.
Yeah.
And I sound like I'm Zorro.
Yeah.
But I don't sound like I'm a hairdresser.
No.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't even know why I brought that up, folks. It's For some reason, when the young people here said Ted of Beverly Hills, I thought, wow, that sounds like a hairdresser to me. Don't let Ted know that I said that, although I'm sure somewhere along the line he's going to find out. I don't know whether this bothered you. It didn't bother me. In fact, I didn't know anything about it until today, but it happened last Christmas. Guess what it was called? The Christmas Blast. Did you know about that?
Uh-uh.
Well, a team of scientists have offered an explanation for the mysterious Christmas Blast. That's right. NASA officials say the space blast was caused by a faraway supernova or an unusual collision between a neutron star and a comet. That sounds like one holy hell of a big explosion, doesn't it? The Christmas sky last year, now, I did not notice this, and I'm sorry that I didn't. I don't even know if you could see it in California. I don't know where you could see it. I'm sure the article will tell us here, but the Christmas sky last year was lit up by an extraordinarily powerful and mysteriously long-lasting explosion in space that officials at NASA now suggest was a comet smacking into a dense star or some kind of a peculiar supernova death. However, they noted that the exact cause of the burst does remain uncertain. They are still trying to figure this out. Common to both scenarios is the presence of a neutron star, the crushed core that forms when a star many times the sun's mass explodes. When the star's fuel is exhausted, it collapses under its own weight, compressing its core so much that about 500,000 times Earth's mass is squeezed into a sphere no larger than a city. Now get a load of that. That's a black hole. Okay? It is compressed, its gravity is collapsing in on itself so much that about 500,000 times the Earth's mass, 500,000 times the mass of the Earth, 500,000 Earths are squeezed into a space no larger than a city. Now that's something we can't even comprehend. But it is so dense that it becomes a black hole.
They didn't say it's a black hole, though.
No, they didn't. They didn't. You're right. But eventually, that's what it's going to be. A number of NASA officials say that a comet smashing into the neutron star may be responsible for the odd burst, while another team of scientists suggested that a rare supernova is to blame, and that is a star flaming out. The first team of scientists suggests that two stars became wrapped in a common envelope of gas before the neutron star. This is all theory, by the way, folks. You know, what do we know? We're puny, tiny, little, itsy-bitsy humans standing here on this rock in space, staring out, and we're going, it could be a big gas ball. We don't know what we're talking about. I mean, if we actually saw half of the stuff that we imagine, we'd wet our pants, you know.
If I seen one of them, I'd wet my pants.
You and me both. I'm sure. Well, I think it was wrapped in a common envelope of gas. If I saw something like that, I'd cry. I'd break down and cry and run away. Try to run away, but there's nowhere to run. The end result of the merger was common envelope of gas before the neutron star merged with the giant's core just after 5 orbits, or about 18 months. The end result of the merger was the birth of a black hole and the production of oppositely directed jets of particles moving at near the speed of light, followed by a weak supernova. What are you talking about? Now, here's why we saw it. They say that it was only about 10,000 light years away from Earth. And that's a relatively short distance. I mean, if you think about 10,000 light years, it's unbelievable, but it is a relatively short distance. The scenario requires the breakup of it. Well, we'll get back into this when we come back. I didn't even know there was a Christmas burst. Did you guys see this?
I didn't see it, and you didn't even hear nothing about it.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Woo.
Phil Hendry. Horse kebab. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I'm looking at this now. This so-called Christmas burst, this is something that only the science guys knew.
Well, all that bunch of geeks?
Well, I wouldn't call them geeks, but yeah. In other words, I don't think it was anything anybody, normal human beings like us saw. Apparently, it was and has been named a pair of reports These two reports on what it could be come as the Christmas burst, also known as GRB-101225A, was discovered in the constellation Andromeda by Swift's Burst Alert Telescope on Christmas Day 2010. Swift's Burst Alert. There are guys that are paying attention to things that I don't even know exist, man. I mean, that's some major science there. These cats could tell me anything, and I'd believe it, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, the things that they know are very... First of all, the things they know are far more important than the stuff that I know, which...
Well, what do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean, man? I mean, how... The fact that I know Eddie Cochran comes from Minnesota ain't nothing compared to these guys who know all about the Christmas burst, you know.
Yeah, but Eddie Cochran is more interesting.
You think so? Not to me it ain't, man. Not if some freaking comet's heading for Earth.
You think that's going to happen?
I don't know. Anyway, these guys are the Swift Burst Alert Telescope. What the hell is that? It sounds like something you get on the back of a cereal box.
You could. I'd go get one. But apparently you can't. I think that's just wishful thinking on your part on account of that.
Well, no kidding, bud. You think? Swift's Burst Alert Telescope on Christmas Day 2010 discovered the GRB-101225A, otherwise known as the Christmas Burst. What was it? Oh, I don't know. Just a comet slamming into a black hole. God! Imagine if you were in a spaceship anywhere near that and you're looking at that.
No, guys on Star Trek, that's the type of thing that they see.
Really? I don't know, man, if what Star Trek has to say is in our future. I don't know if any of that stuff is in our future, but I will tell you this. If stuff like this does exist, comets slamming into black holes, Jack, I don't want to be anywhere near that. The only thing I want to know is, you know, show me the Swift Burst Telescope I looked through. The gamma ray emission lasted at least 28 minutes, which is unusually long. Follow-up observations of the bursts... How do we know that wasn't a new universe being born?
What? What are you talking about?
How do we know that that wasn't some new universe being born? We don't know what that was.
They just said there was some kind of a gamma ray or something.
They don't know, bud. It's all theory. The gamma ray emission, they do know it's gamma rays because I guess they can ascertain that there are gamma rays because they have a certain place on the light spectrum. Whatever I'm saying there, it has something to... The scientists know what I'm talking about. The gamma ray emission lasted at least 28 minutes, which is unusually long. Follow-up observation of the burst's afterglow by the Hubble Hubble Space Telescope and ground-based observatories...
Yeah, but the Hubble telescope is busted.
Yeah, I thought that thing was busted. It doesn't look good.
What do you mean it doesn't look good? They fixed it.
Oh.
Anyway, afterglow by the Hubble Space Telescope and ground-based observatories were unable to determine the object's distance. Gamma ray bursts, or GRBs, are high-energy releases that often come from stars in their death throes. Mm-mm-mm. Papers describing both interpretations appear in the December 1st issue of the journal Nature. Yeah, we'll be running out and getting that one. I wouldn't understand one word of it. I like reading about science, though. You know?
Do you understand what you're reading about?
I mean, not really. I understand what they're getting at. I don't understand what they're saying. But I like reading about space and science because that's a mind blower out there, man. There is, you know, if you think about space, people don't do this because it seems silly. To us here on Earth, anybody that dreams or imagines about space is just wasting their time. And probably they're right. It's probably a big waste of time. I mean, look. It ain't going to happen for a long time, man, that we're going to be getting off this planet.
What do you mean? I mean, they'll be having rocket ships that'll go, like, on a Mars mission or something.
Bud, think about it, dude. I mean, we sure, yeah, okay, we'll land on Mars. We may even land on Mars in my lifetime. Before I croak, we may even have a mission. You figure if Phil Henry's got another 20 years on this planet, we may actually have a manned mission to Mars. But that's a long, long way, man, from colonizing a planet. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen if we have to colonize. First of all, I don't think we're going to be colonizing planets per se. Why? You know?
On account it's going to get too crap. Did you see Soylent Green? God, I got to go through this with you all the time.
Did I see Soylent Green? Are you trying to tell me that you think that that's in the future?
But what do you think, man? I mean, the whole reason why we're going to go to another planet is because we're running out of space.
We're not running out of space. According to the movies, we're running out of space. We got more space than we know what to do with, to be honest with you. We got 5 billion people on this planet, and you and I can go out and walk for days, and not see another human being.
What?
I'm telling you right now, we got 5 billion people on this planet, probably more. What do we got? 7 billion people on this planet. And we can go out there and walk for days and days and days and not see another human being.
What are you talking about?
Up in Canada? Out in the desert? The American desert.
But part of the desert, you got to see somebody.
No, you're not. We could walk from Texas through, like Western Texas, through New Mexico. We could keep on walking, never see a human being.
You probably see the humans have been there.
Well, what does that mean? What does that mean, see that humans have been there?
There have been habitation and everything.
Who cares, man? I'm talking about seeing another person. What do you mean humans have been there?
See, like a rusted out car or something.
Whatever. I remember one time, if you ever, flown internationally, I was flying back from Europe once, and I look out the window, and we're coming in from England, and we're coming in over North America, and I look out the window, and it was way back in the day when you could smoke. So what was I? I was standing up there, and I was jaw-jacking with a stewardess, having a cigarette. And I look out the window, and we're over northern Canada. Have you ever taken a look out the window? If there isn't a human being, I'm telling you right now, you can look down there. There's nothing there.
Yeah, well, you got to have like a railroad and stuff on account of the guys that go up there and they trap for mink fur and stuff.
Yeah, what about the trappers?
What do you mean, what about the trappers? What has that got to do with anything?
They're up there trapping.
They may be up there trapping. I don't know. They're not necessarily. You think the whole northern part of Canada is crawling with trappers? Are you nuts?
What was that guy was telling you one time? He did a radio show for trappers.
He didn't do a radio show for trappers. I was talking to a guy, and I was talking to this guy in Atlanta, and I was down there for Don Anthony's morning show boot camp. And we're sitting there one night, and we're having a couple of pops, and I'm talking to all these morning shows are there. And Don had invited me to come down there and talk, give a talk, not a speech, but just do a rap to some of these morning shows. So anyway, after this thing, we're sitting, we're having a few drinks, and this guy is from San Francisco. And he says to me, oh, yeah, when I started out, I said, where'd you start out? He says, I started out in Canada. I said, yeah, whereabouts? He says, well, I was at a little small station like in northern Saskatchewan or something like that.
Yeah, that's it, Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan is where they are.
No, it ain't. Just hold on. No, it ain't Saskatchewan.
Well, but that's where they trap.
No, man, it's not where they trap. Shut up for a minute. Because the guy's telling me he's at a radio station in northern Saskatchewan. And I said, really? He says, yeah. He said it was pretty trippy. He said there was a part of the year where we did our trapper, what did he call it? He called it our trapper calls or something like that. I said, what the hell is that? He said, our radio station and other radio stations like ours was the only communication these trappers had with their homes. So I guess they couldn't use two-way radios or something, because they were so far away, or I don't know what it was.
You know, but they can't use not a walkie-talkie. What about a cell phone?
Yeah.
Cell phone? They didn't have cell phones back then, man. So what they did is these guys on these radio stations, and these are commercial radio stations. I mean, they're just, they're playing music and they're playing, commercials and they're doing their radio thing. But at a certain time of the day, they would say, okay, it's time now for our trapper calls. And Bill Smith, your wife just had a baby. And
get out of here. Are you serious?
Yes, I swear to God. I swear to Bill Smith of Busted Whistle, Northern Moose Jaw, whatever the hell they're from. Your wife just had a baby, and your sister, Earlene, she ran off with that redneck. And I don't know what they're saying, but they're giving these announcements. They're saying, hey, Bill, your wife says she loves you, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking about stuff from their families.
Yeah, stuff from their families. And I said, no kidding. He goes, yeah. He says that we did this. Now, it seems to me the guy was telling me they did this for a few months out of the year when the trappers were up north. And I don't know, but it seems to me that these trappers were up there in the dead of winter or something. I mean, just the most brutal time you could possibly be up there trapping,
Yeah, but what about the baby seals?
Well, now that's a whole other thing. See, the Phil Hendry Show, we are opposed to the killing of baby seals. We support Friends of Seals. And that's just all there is to it. See, you guys know me. I'm not some touchy-feely animal activist, but there's certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong in my book. And the baby seals, you can't go clubbing them around, okay?
Yeah, that's probably what them trappers is doing.
I don't know, bud. These guys are trapping whatever they're trapping. I don't even want to, I'm not talking about that. So, there you go. And,
So this guy said, what's some of the messages they say?
Well, I mean, like, he remembers one time having to tell, you know, saying, hey, you know, Bill, your wife just had a baby, you know? I mean, she just had the baby, and, he said another one was, you know, stuff like, you know, your kid, you know, your daughter, Susie, and your son, they love you, and we had puppies, and whatever. But there would be things like the insurance, you know, the insurance payment is due. There'd be some heavy things, you know. So it wasn't just a social call. It was, these were vital messages, you know. Come home, you know, we have an illness.
Really?
Yeah. You know, you have to come home. Becky Sue is,
Becky Sue's got leprosy?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, bud. Very funny. But, you know, so come on home. So, yeah, stuff like that. And that's what they did, man. I mean, how the hell do we get into trapping? Oh, I was talking about places where there are no human beings at all, man.
Well, you just said these guys up there trapping.
Yeah, but they're not. There's not billions of them up there spread out all over the north of Canada. I'm telling you, you look down at northern Canada, and there ain't a soul for thousands of miles, man. All it is forest. And then I was watching out the window, and I remember thinking, I'm going to keep watching until I see some sign of that humans have been there, right?
What'd you see?
I finally saw what looked like a railroad track. I finally saw this little thin thing going. And it just kept going and going and going and going and going, you know, and nothing, man. I mean, are you nuts? You've flown over the desert here, and you'd swear to God, there's nothing down there. There's no people down there. So it's going to be a long time, in my opinion, before I don't think we'll ever run out of space. I think that the human being, the humans, how self-aware we are now, either we're going to have a major war, which is what all of the doomsday predictors always love to tell you about. But I think it'll be more like this. I think we're going to come to some agreement with ourselves as to how to regulate population. You know, the human race, folks, we keep talking about we're going to kill ourselves in a war. We've seen a lot of war. The human race has seen lots and lots and lots of war. And we've seen so much war that we've gotten to the point now where we do have a nuclear device. And the only time it's ever been used was 60 plus years ago, at the end of a war against very, very evil forces in the world. It was used by our country, thank God, because in my opinion, if ever a country should use the nuclear weapon responsibly and did, it was the United States. And you'll notice, as evil as we are, and as bad as we are, and as terrible as we are, that everybody tells us we are, that's the last time we launched a nuclear weapon. And it hasn't been used since in any way, shape, or form, not even by terrorists. It hasn't been used by the bad commies. It hasn't been used by any Nazis. It hasn't been used by us. It hasn't been used by them. It hasn't been used by you. And it hasn't been used by me.
Yeah, but someday they'll use it.
Yeah, whoever they are. All right, we'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. So we got that figured out, man. We can live on this planet forever and ever. There's a lot of trappers up in Canada, so they got plenty of space. And oh yeah, a comet slammed into a black hole, if you'll pardon the expression. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show in our final segment coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and as we conclude our show tonight, I thought this would be a very, very interesting bit of information for you guys. What do you think was the single most searched thing on Yahoo in 2011? Now, there are a number of things that we could choose from. There are quite a few big events that happened in 2011. There were natural disasters, political upheaval, celebrities. What do you think the most searched term on Yahoo was in 2011? The iPhone. That's right. The Yahoo Year in Review list, now in its 10th year, has only once before had a tech gadget come in at number one, and that happened in the first year of the review when Sony's PlayStation 2 topped the chart. Subsequent years have seen Britney Spears, well, she's kind of a tech gadget.
Yeah, I definitely play with the knobs.
All right, shut up. Shut up. Anyway, subsequent years have seen Britney Spears come in first. She actually landed the top spot every year from 2005 to 2008. That's interesting.
What about that?
I don't know. Britney Spears. I remember when Britney Spears first hit the headlines, and that was in the late 90s, and it, at my house, because we had little 10, 11, and 12-year-old boys at the time, and that was all they thought of. And if you want to talk about having a poster on the ceiling, you got it.
Are you kidding me?
I ain't kidding you at all. They had her poster on the ceiling. anyway.
You take it down?
No, I didn't take it down. Anyway, Britney Spears. Michael Jackson took the top spot in 2009 and last year, and so on. Microsoft, but the top topics that were searched. Wait a minute, we got the wrong thing here. The top topics that were searched were not celebrities, and they had nothing to do with all these other things. It was the iPhone. That was the number one term. It was the most searched in 2011. And of course, it's the most searched because I have an iPhone, and a great many people have iPhones, and I love my iPhone. There's no question. I love it. It's my little internet. I get an iPad, but I'm so lazy. And so, and frankly, you know, I just don't want to stand there in the Apple store. Excuse me for saying this. I don't want to stand there in the Apple store with a bunch of dorks, you know.
Man, you shouldn't say that, man. People are going to...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I just...
You don't understand. People love their Apple products.
Oh, like I don't understand that? Of course I understand that. Okay? I don't want to stand around anyway.
Do I stand around? I got good service there.
Yes, they do have good service. You're right. Anyway, I'm going to finally get my four. And if you're watching us on Phil TV in HD right now, I am showing you on the camera there my iPhone. And I do. I love this. This is my little internet access. I have my Kindle on this thing. I mean, if I actually, you know, would... man up and buy an iPad.
Yeah, you have an iPad, you don't look like a dork reading a book on a phone.
What do you mean, look like a dork reading a book on a phone? Let me ask you a question. Why has Kindle got an app for an iPhone?
Because people want it.
Oh, people want it. People want it. So I guess I'm not the only dork reading a book on the iPhone.
What one are you reading?
I told you, I'm reading this Sociopath Next Door. Here, I'll show you. And it's fantastic. It's a great book. Dr. Stout wrote this book. I told you guys about this. There's my little Kindle app. And the only problem I got with Dr. Stout's book is she's, you know, very typically liberal academician. She's got to go on and on about how, yes, killing is so foreign to the human experience. Why, in the studies done by Dr. Meacham, you know, whatever. And she conveniently ignores some of the stuff. That's fine. I get it. What I'm more interested in reading about are these case studies she has on sociopaths. So that's fun. But my iPhone, I got to get updated, man, to the 5 or to the 4, because that's what everybody's doing. And
yeah, but all you got to do is get it on a iTunes.
No, I can't, man.
Yeah, you can. You can update some of the apps you want for 4.
I understand that, man. I'm not gonna. What are you talking about? I'm gonna get a 4. You saying I gotta get a? Sorry, folks. Now we're really talking geek.
I'm saying you don't have to get a new phone. You can get it upgraded to a 4.
No bullcrap. You got to get a new phone. All right. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry, Dan Northcraft, and Fred Scotty. And we're online at philhenryshow.com each and every night, 10 to 1 here, Monday through Friday, and on Saturday nights locally in Los Angeles at KFI. And don't forget to get a backstage pass and be a part of our extended family on philhenryshow.com. What else is happening? Friday we won't be here because we're shooting an episode of Modern Family. I'll be a part and very, very proud to be a part of the cast of Modern Family for a couple of days this week. And then we're back at it, brother. Until then, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.